Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Hi, Jim. And I guess the change here today is that it's gray, damp weather outside. And it's giving us a hint of what fall may be like.
Yeah, well, that's Vancouver. No matter how long the drought lasts here, we know at some point there's going to be rain and lots of it.
They're going to give us the averages, you know.
Yeah, so it'll be an average year again.
Yeah.
We'll kick off the show with the listener question. Where does Bob see the 10-year going in the next year? He mentioned the front end going down. How far down?
Right, yeah. Again, you can look at something, a trend for 4 or 5 months, and it gets overdone. You can call a turn. But if you've got how previous bubbles, great financial bubbles, have climaxed and then rolled over, then you got a better idea on what interest rates do. And it's what happens is that let's back up one more notch. In a boom, short rates such as T-bills go up, and it's reliable. It confirms the boom. And of course, the Fed reluctantly raises rates in order to look like they're in charge. And the last couple of days, New York has been strong. Toronto set new highs because the Fed's going to cut rates. But if you look at the charts, the falling short rates are a disaster. They've been associated with some of the great wipeouts. And we did a short-term chart from 2008. With the S&P and the three-month treasury bills, the fastest plunges in the S&P have occurred with the fastest plunges in short rates. So this is a very dangerous intuitional conclusion out there that short rates are going to go down. That's wonderful, but it has never worked in financial history. So T-bill rate will likely go down to almost zero again, about 5.40% recently, off a little from the high. As a matter of fact, the T-bill rate decline is enough to say that the trend has changed, and then the Fed will, of course, have to follow. So no big news about it, but it'll be another disaster of short rates going down. Now, what happens as you get further out the curve? Well, the long end gets rather dodgy as well, because if we go into a full post-bubble loss of liquidity, there's not enough money around to bid up long treasuries. So the ideal investment would be in 3 to 4 year term good grade corporate. And for Canadians, if you can find those good grade corporates in U.S., then you're going to get a kick from the firmer U.S. dollar. So, but you have to find a real full investment service dealer where they do have a trading desk and can get a decent fill for you on good corporate bonds. The point being is that the yield will be more generous than with T-bills or other new cash deposits, but they won't go down, towards 0%. So if you're locked in an attractive yield at about 3 or 4 years term, you're not at a huge price risk because the bond will mature at par. So I like that actually now for both stock investors and fixed income investors. Good place to be.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoyt. Bob, one thing I was going to ask you, how many recessions slash depressions have there been since the Fed was invented back in 1913 on Jekyll Island?
Yeah, the powers that be then understood that a crisis in the financial market would be followed by a recession. And then they got ambitious and said, well, if you have the right injection of liquidity by the central bank, then it would prevent the crisis, and therefore it would prevent a recession.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, the then editor of The Economist, the very highly esteemed Walter Bagehot, he wrote a book that year, 1873, called Lombard Street, and it was all about the workings of the financial markets. And in it, he pointed out that a recession was a form of neuralgia, and you had to provide a medication of injecting money into the markets, money and credit into the markets by the central bank. Now, that bubble, it was a bubble in London as well as New York, but that and New York has a tendency then to peak in September, so New York stock market peaked in September and rolled over, and you went into a severe bear market for stocks and a severe long contraction that senior economists in 1880 started calling it the Great Depression, and that ran until 1895. So here we are. As we talked in June and July, the good stuff could run into mid-year, and if it didn't get overbought, the action didn't get overbought, the uptrend would likely continue. But as we mentioned, it got some sectors, the Magnificent Seven and things like that, got screamingly overbought. I mean, really overbought action. Some of the individual stocks were off the charts. So anyways, we had that sharp hit. And and the S&P, and it was quite a sharp hit down, and it's recovering now. Who knows whether it makes new highs or not, but I'd be content if it continues into September, giving us a nice September high from which it could roll over and die. And also, we know that I heard in the radio this morning that the TSE index is at new highs. So, hey, the world is wonderful.
Right. We have a headline here from Oil Price Intel. Oil jumps 2% during Fed Jackson Hole meeting. WTI crude rose more than 2%. As Powell said, I'm going to cut rates. Stocks, bonds, gold prices rose during the meeting as the U.S. dollar lost some of its strength, and the Canadian dollar went up half a cent to 74 cents.
Yeah.
So to a lot of people, it seems like that's good news.
Oh, yeah. Like the news that the Fed's going to cut, but that's intuition. Mm. And once the cuts start, it's disaster. So.
Right. And how many recessions since the Fed was invented?
Oh, yeah, now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got a good theme there. They decided that the Fed would be the lender of last resort, and by timely injections of capital would prevent recessions. I mean, recessions had been banned. There's been 18 cyclical recessions since, and In most disciplines, one failure is enough to trash an hypothesis. And this thing now has had 18 failures. And yet, the central bankers and the media and Wall Street all go along with the nonsense that the Fed can prevent bad things from happening. And I like that term, the Fed can prevent bad things from happening, because this is what's going to get them. The next recession, and maybe it started, could be a killer. I mean, really severe. And people are getting, the public is getting much more practical these days, and they can look at the recession, hardships, unemployment, all that sort of stuff, and they can look at the Fed and say, look at you, you spent trillions of our taxpayer dollars in trying to prevent bad times from happening. So I think the Fed is going to come under very close scrutiny, and I think that you can't get rid of the Fed, but you can discipline the Fed, and that is done by having gold convertibility on the dollar, so it's convertible into a fixed amount of gold. I believe that will happen at some time.
How many recessions since the Fed was invented?
18.
18.
Yeah.
And we might be going into number 19?
Yeah, well, I call them cyclical recessions because the COVID little thing was not cyclical. It was just an extraordinary event. So there's been 18 cyclical recessions since the Fed was going to prevent recessions.
And it seems we get a major worldwide pandemic every 100 years because we had the Spanish flu in 1919 that killed millions of people.
Yeah.
So bugs come along.
Yeah.
They come along. It's part of the natural cycle as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, some other headlines here. Startup failures up 60%. That's pretty discouraging.
Yeah, those who are starting new companies or new issues are not being rewarded.
And from our good friend Danielle Park, in our discussion, 200 development companies in Canada went under last year. They don't have numbers for this year yet, of course. But as we're trying to solve a housing crisis, that's not good news.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
No, the Trudeau government says, oh, you got to build houses. What they have, and of course, the federal government is no way can it go out there and build houses. What it has to do is get rid of the taxation or lower taxes and make sure that each area where houses are going to be built, that a lot of the red tape is reduced. Because I don't know, say something like it takes maybe a year or two just to get the permitting done, which is insane.
BC, British Columbia, has a unique job creation number that's different than any other jurisdiction in Canada. For every private sector job in BC, 5 government jobs were created. Is that sustainable?
No, it isn't. That's that, my friend, is the road to communism, where eventually Every ambitious people are working for government, and they require an ever-increasing taxation, and they will provide you with ever-increasing rules and regulations. That's pure evil.
Headline, currency markets, biggest short bet tested as the loony rallies. Victor Adair told us that there was a record short on the Canadian dollar. It's gone up 0.5 cent today.
Yep, it's having its time in the sunshine, yeah.
Now, what happens to all those people who had shorted the Canuck buck?
Oh, you just cover and take your loss and cover.
Oh, okay. Well, if it was a record high, somebody somewhere lost their shirt.
Oh, yeah.
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 After a battle with Yuan bears, China is now keen to avoid sharp currency gains.
Yeah, any policymaker anywhere in the world, their ideal strategy is to depreciate their own currency. And then when you get into a major post-bubble contraction, we could call it a depression, the senior currency gets chronically firm. And I think the reason for that is that a lot of the debt in the bubble the bubble ends, the creation of debt ends. So then you end up with a whole bunch of debtors out there who owe dollars on their loans into New York. So the post-bubble contraction, one of the features is a chronically firm senior currency, and I believe that will work out. Another feature is gold's real price going up, and that is working. Another feature is real long interest rates adjusted for inflation going up, and that is working. And the other one is real price for copper going down, and that is now working. So our four benchmarks that track the transition from boom to bust are close to the path to a bust.
The world's top uranium producer has cut their production target, and that has boosted prices. Same thing, you know, with oil. They try to lower production to boost prices. In other words, create your own shortage.
Yeah, well, the uranium stocks, maybe a month or so ago, got very oversold and were set up for a nice rally. And they have enjoyed a very good rally, so that's fine. But the longer term on uranium is the bulls consider that you're going to have to mine a lot of uranium, which means that the miners do well. And but one of the things is that driving this, of course, is that there will likely be a huge expansion of nuclear-generated electricity in smaller modules these days. It's very efficient. With high-density energy, it's very a good idea to have nuclear power. But here's the twist with these new modular nuclear generators. They can use the old wasted uranium from decades and decades of consumption. So you may not need as much mined uranium as the bulls think, because the new modular items can use old stored uranium. So it's going to be interesting to see how that one goes.
Headline: Ford cancels its three-row SUV that was going to be all electric. Instead, it's going to be a hybrid.
Yeah, the all electrics were impractical from the start. Very expensive to make. Very expensive to run when they're running. And they, in building them with rare earths and all that sort of stuff, so you're messing up the environment. And then their batteries can blow up and cause fires that last for days. So no, they are electric vehicles going. Now the one where it's a combination of both some electrical drive with a battery, but also using internal combustion engine, I believe they're reasonably practical. But actually, over the decades, the improvements in internal combustion engine have been fantastic. So, yeah, at this moment, the internal combustion engine is still very practical and cost-effective.
And our final headline of the day, the largest diamond found in a century was found by Lucara Diamond Corporation, a Canadian mining company that founded in Botswana. And the president of the country displayed the fist-sized precious gem.
Ooh, that's a big one.
It weighs nearly half a kilogram.
Wow. Oh, that's impressive.
Now, a smaller diamond from that same mine sold for $63 million in 2016, a record for a rough gem. So I think this little puppy is going to go for a little more than
that
63
bid. High bid for this one, yeah.
Now, what would you do with that, Bob?
I can't even fantasize about it, either as an investor or as a, well, yeah, you, as a geologist, I think, hey, that's really interesting. It must have been from one hell of a diamond pipe, so, yeah.
Now,
and then we've got our list of small cap junior golds.
Right. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we in December. I got through university by working summers for small cap juniors in the field as a geologist, and I really enjoyed it, and I've been partial to them ever since. So we took the Toronto Venture Exchange, which is essentially small cap golds, and it came down and set a very exhausted low. I mean, everything was wiped out, and then it's been recovering since. So at that low, we put together a list of 11 small cap gold stocks. Let's call them juniors. We are, and that's it's a reasonable way to get some exposure in the golds. Typically, from a major bottom in the gold stock sector, the seniors will move up first, then the middlers, and then finally the juniors. But hey, exposure in some or all of these 10 or 11 gold stocks gives one pretty good coverage. And when the market really moves them up, the percent gains could be higher than with buying a major gold stock. And then some could get stuck. So, it's a fairly practical idea. And those interested could just let us know, and we'll give you the list.
That would be at chartsandmarkets.com?
Yeah. Send in to chartsandmarkets.com, yeah.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Jim, good to be with you, and look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.